You're in the whole 6010.
Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Stefania Bell, and Daniel Dopp here with you on Tuesday, December 29th. It is an incredibly special day, and I'm not talking about the fact that you probably have won, or maybe hopefully not lost, your championship. But today is a day that we must begin in one unmistakable way by wishing a very, very happy birthday Dolphins running back Savon Ahmed.
Yes, happy birthday, buddy!
Wow,
way to go!
Great day for Savon. Been really, really solid for them this season. Stepping in, playing capably when Myles Gaskin was out.
So
showing
good.
Some promise.
So proud of that guy. You know,
fine for the Dolphins.
Great year happy for Savon Ahmed.
Yeah, yep. 22. The world is really his oyster, as they
his
say.
Oyster.
So
his
much
life
promise.
Isn't over yet.
Right?
No.
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Wait, isn't there somebody else? Oh, no, that's the 31st.
That's right. That's right.
Wow. Okay.
No, today is, of course, Matthew Berry's birthday. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you.
How do you feel?
I'm happy to be here. Obviously,
yeah,
every birthday when you wake up on your birthday, you're like, well, that's another year. I'm still around. It's pretty exciting. Feel good. Feel healthy. I feel really good. You know, I'm excited. Listen, I love doing this podcast. I love doing it with all of you and all the great people behind the scenes as well. So, it's an exciting way to start off my birthday. And, yeah.
Did you have a birthday wish this year?
He didn't want to do the show, and I told him he had to come.
No, I did not. You know what? I didn't make a birthday wish.
Maybe
I probably should have.
By the end of the show.
I should think of one by the end of the
followers?
Show. I will say though,
birthday gift.
I will say, and we can get into it in a second. But like, I had a very good fantasy year. You know, Bitterberry is a whole thing, and we like to do the shtick and everything like that. And I definitely had some disappointing losses, but overall, I feel really good about my fantasy year, which is great. I feel great that we had a season in an era of COVID. Just the fact that we got through it, that we got 16 weeks of football
it's amazing.
The books. It's really incredible. Hats off to the NFL and all of its players, coaches, and personnel. You know what? Listen, and truthfully, like, you know, all jokes aside, I am healthy and I am employed. And given what's going on in the world, those are two things to not at all take for granted. And so I am really thrilled and blessed. I am, you know, I'm happily married. I have great kids. I have wonderful family and friends. Life's been pretty good. To quote Joe Walsh, life's been good to me. It's a good day. It's
a little
a good
bit of
day.
Perspective is always important. Great stuff there. Happy birthday to Matthew. We'll continue to celebrate it throughout the show and throughout the day. And seriously, just I'll ask for a gift on his behalf. Go follow him on TikTok.
That's what I want. If you want to give me a gift, please follow me on TikTok. It's the only thing that will impress my kids. That's the only thing they care about. So at Matthew Berry TMR on TikTok.
I think what you need to do.
I'm not great on TikTok, but I'm getting better.
I think what you need to do, though, this is a strat hat tip to our friend Gary Streisky here at ESPN.
Yeah, sure.
Hilarious.
Gary's awesome.
And he has over 100,000 TikTok followers.
Does he really?
Look out, Gary. You have a new best friend.
Gary.
What you need to do, though, is he cross-promotes. Gary puts his TikToks on IG. He puts them on Twitter. And that indicates to people, Gary's got the TikTok heat. You got to go follow Gary.
That's what I
got
to do.
I got
to first come up with a good TikTok, and then I got to put it. Then I'll put it on.
That's right. I'm promising.
I'll put it on my other social media platforms. I will do that.
You stick around with me. I got a couple of ideas here for your social media.
Let's talk about
last night's game, the Bills.
If there's a TikTok expert out there that wants to take over my account, hit a brother up.
Let's get into last night's game. The Bills completely stomped the Patriots. Just a bludgeoning of the Patriots. First time they've swept the Patriots in like 20 years. Obviously, we know it's already their first division title. Specifically, there's a lot to clap about. So what specifically are you clapping?
I'll specifically clap about Josh Allen.
Yeah.
So you just talk about my birthday and good year. So I went in needing a hashtag Monday Night Miracle. So, you know, I tweeted every single Monday. You didn't tweet one at me this week.
No, I did. There's actually a story behind this.
Okay.
All right. So,
because Phil and I do this every week.
I kind of feel like I need to get this off my chest.
Yeah, go please.
Like, it sort of hurt me to do this. So, or not do it in this case. Matthew tweets every Monday, Monday Night Miracle.
What do you need tonight?
Right? Yeah. And I always have something satirical that I respond with, right. And the masses tend to really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Last night, Matthew asked,
I think I said something like, last one of the year, what do you need tonight? Hashtag Monday Night Miracle.
I said, I said Alvin Kamara to retire effective last Thursday.
Right. Okay. That's good.
Which was very funny and witty. The problem was within like 15 seconds, like 20 people responded with like, holy bleep. Like, oh my God, Field, don't do that to me. Heart attack. I'm like, like, I have notifications on from you on Twitter notifications.
Yeah, of course.
Humbling that they are even bothered by my tweets to have them on notifications.
But because you are a newsbreaker,
all they see is Alvin Kamara to retire effective last Thursday. Everybody's like, dude, like my heart.
Like,
oh, okay, my bad. So I deleted it right away. And that way I didn't want to cause any confusion. And then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to double back to the tweet.
Any
gray area there, even though it's completely obvious what I was saying.
Sure, of course.
It's
a funny tweet. I appreciate that. But yes, you're in a position that I am not, which is people take what you say seriously. Which is right, because you're an actual you dabble in fantasy, and dabble is not a fair word because, I mean, you write our free agent column, you do rankings, you host Fantasy Football Now, you're on this podcast every day, but I think you're primarily known as a newsbreaker. Well, that's a good question.
Dabbling?
I dabble
in golf because I play 8 times a year. All right,
I'm it's not a fair way to put it, but I'm just saying I don't think, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Secret Squirrel, Stefan, you guys weigh in here.
Sure.
I think most people think of Field, and maybe I'm wrong about this. I feel like most people think of Field as a newsbreaker first, as NFL Live, SportsCenter's Get Ups. Field Yates, as you know, close with Adam Schefter. They retweet each other all the time. Newsbreaker. Like, I feel like the majority of your tweets are usually either NFL news or NFL observations. Yeah. You know, like you had a big one yesterday about Frank Gore, you know, for example. So I feel like you don't often tweet about fantasy. You do sometimes, but I think sometimes you tweet clips, but I don't know. You tell me, am I wrong on this Secret Squirrel? None of this is meant as an insult.
I don't want to say that you're wrong. I've always viewed Field just more as like an Instagram model. You know, you've seen the cover of Athleisure and the different things that he's done, you know, promoting different brands.
Exactly. The new era of blue steel.
You know what I think? I think that you cannot put Field in a category because he is such an awesome multi-dimensional talent.
Look at these people sucking up to you.
I don't have to.
Stefan's birthday. Can we start celebrating that now?
Yeah, exactly. No one puts Field in a corner.
No one puts Baby in a corner.
Field, look, by the way, Field, how many times he hosted NFL Live, stepped in while Laura Rutledge was out doing sideline reporting yesterday. Field,
yesterday... And I'm sure there's three things I'm missing. But after you hosted this podcast, Field went and hosted NFL Live. And then you hosted the Monday Night Tailgate? Countdown. Yeah. Tailgate, is that what they call it? A digital show that we do here at ESPN. And you can see it on the app and on social.
This is your birthday. Let's talk more about you.
And so more about me is that I needed a Monday Night Miracle from Josh Allen. I was in the Agbo Superhero League where I'm playing for charity. I'm trying to raise money for the Jimmy V Foundation for Cancer Research. I was playing Chris Evans, Captain America. America's ass, right? I'm playing big star Chris Evans, movie star, and he's a hardcore fantasy football player. If anyone ever follows Chris on social media, he is a hardcore fantasy football player and a very good one. And he is up on me by 29 points. He's done, and all I have is Josh Allen left. And at stake is the third place game in the Agbo Superhero League. Winner of the third place game gets $60,000 for the charity. Fourth place gets $30,000. So an extra $30,000 is at stake, as is bragging rights, because let's face it, Chris Evans is more famous than me, he's richer than me, he's handsomer than me, he's younger than me, like, he's a movie star, like, he's got everything over me. All I've got is dumb fantasy football against Chris Evans. And so, what did Josh Allen do? Josh Allen led me to the promised land. It was off to a rocky start. Tywan Jones drops a touchdown. Dawson Knox drops a touchdown. I'm like, what are we doing here, people? Do you understand I need 29 points? Don't you people hate cancer the way I do? But you know what? Josh Allen circled the wagons and got me over 29 points, an extra $30,000 for the Jimmy V Foundation for Cancer Research. I end this year, thank you to the Agbo Superhero League presented by FanDuel, I end this year raising $110,000
nice.
For the Jimmy V Foundation for Cancer Research. Now that is a birthday present.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
That I would also
proving true the old adage that it is better to give than to receive on your birthday,
agreed.
Matt.
Agreed. And by the way, Stefan, you're the smartest person here. Can you agree with me, though, that a few of those things that Matthew stated about being less handsome, less famous, less talented than Chris Evans, those are subjective, right? Like, I'm not sure that I see it the same way that he does.
No, and we certainly don't, not here at the 060.
Well, I appreciate that. Thirsty Kyle, absolutely do not put that out on a poll. I do not want a public vote on whether or not I'm more handsome than Chris Evans, or more famous, or richer, or nicer, or more well-liked.
All right, so let's just get into it. And it's week 17, people. You're playing one more week, good, and keep pulling it all the way through. But when we're running through last night's games, like, it's not like you're changing a lot for week 17. So we're better to sort of just review than we are to overanalyze it too much. Stephon Diggs had a marvelous night last night, 41.5 fantasy points. I thought on Friday that Alvin Kamara had just sealed basically every fantasy championship that he played in. The reality is that there were a few avenues you could have taken to get back in your championship game against Alvin Kamara, whether it was Stephon Diggs, whether it was Devontae Adams, whether it was Tom Brady at quarterback, whether it was
Mike Evans.
Mike Evans. Can I laugh for a second, by the way?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Chapin, my wife, who, by the way, will be taking over my position next year in this show. She sends me her screenshot.
It's already the best birthday ever.
Yeah. Right. Sends me your screenshot last night, like, as if, like, how am I doing, right? In her fantasy finals.
Yeah.
Like, this is her. I don't have any influence over this. She managed to draft. This is not necessarily 12 fantasy experts, but, you know, these people that are paying attention.
It's a local league.
Yep.
It's a legit real league.
She starts off the draft with Alvin Kamara.
Heard of him.
Devontae Adams in her second round pick. All right. Third round pick, Mike Evans slid a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Fourth round, she goes with David Johnson.
Okay.
Who had 28.9.
Yeah, he had a monster game.
Fifth round pick, she decides to tap into Stephon Diggs.
No way.
Okay.
Diggs definitely dropped. People were worried about the switch to Buffalo.
Yeah. So she threw up, let me just do a little bit of math here. 265 points in the fantasy championship. Like, I'm just sitting here. I'm just like, are you kidding
Chapin,
me?
By Duke, the way, Yates.
Like, and she didn't even have, like, her quarterback. She's really loyal to Matt Ryan, BC, both BC grads.
Of course, yeah.
Stuck it out there. She used the Browns defense against the Jets, thinking, like, Jets.
Sure.
And they only got you six, right? Logan Thomas is her tight end, who was fine. We got you 13.3. Actually, not terrible right there. How about that? I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, like, next year, when you're trying to ask me what to do, I'm just going to, what would you do?
That's right.
Put it on its head, right?
1,000%.
So that is a juggernaut.
Yeah, we all look forward to Chapin.
Her top 100
Chapin
will be
Yates hosting the Fantasy Focus 06-0-0 next year.
Well, so let's keep it moving. Besides those two, I mean, you know, those two have been the two players that you've counted on from the Bills this season, with the dash of Cole Beasley sprinkled in, a little bit of the running backs, but not really.
But in a game in which it's just nice, you know, listen, there have been a number, we talked about some of the big name players, but there were a lot of big name players that didn't show up this week or haven't shown up during the fantasy playoffs. And those guys have year in, year out. It's going to be fascinating to figure out where to rank both of those guys next year, especially Josh Allen. When you sit there and you think about Mahomes and you think about Aaron Rodgers coming back, you think about Kyler Murray next year, like a bounce back from Lamar Jackson.
Definitely the top five. Definitely.
I know, I'm just saying that, but right. But that's gonna be a real conversation, because I remember in the beginning of the year, you and I had a conversation multiple times, I think, in some of the preseason stuff we did. Who's this year's Lamar Jackson?
Yep.
And the obvious answer was Kyler Murray.
Right.
But we absolutely had multiple conversations. But you know who else could be? Josh Allen.
Well, and by the way, so Josh Allen's now the highest scoring quarterback in fantasy this year and the second highest scoring player overall. He's about 1.5 points behind Alvin Kamara. Kyler Murray's 2 points behind him, as is Patrick Mahomes, right? So, like, what this really underscored is that you don't have to put the premium on a quarterback, because even if you do and you hit the right quarterback, Like, even if you had used your second round pick on Mahomes, he wouldn't have gotten you the edge that drafting a Josh Allen in the fifth or sixth or seventh round would have gotten you.
Which is the point we made all the time about Lamar Jackson, is that the argument for drafting Lamar Jackson in the preseason where he was not that he was going to end up the year as the number one quarterback in fantasy, but that he was going to end up the number one quarterback in fantasy by such a significant margin as he did last year.
He was going to go Kelce on him.
He was going to go Travis Kelce on him. That's right, because there's such a massive gap between Kelce and everyone else. Here, right, to your point, like whether you had Jackson, whether you had Murray, whether you had, I'm sorry, whether you had Mahomes or Josh Allen or Kyler Murray, like, you know, there was just a lot of, there's kind of a lot of sameness there. By the way, assuming, this is a big word, but if Jalen Hurts...
Assuming starting, is a, if, an
yes,
a normal I,
yes,
word.
Yes, exactly. It's not a great...
it's not that big
just,
of a word.
It's a dangerous word. It's a slippery word.
Okay.
It's a slippery word. I'm just saying, like, if Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback, if Wentz is on another team next year and Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback for Philadelphia, he suddenly becomes super interesting, too, as well, I think, at least to me.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would like to see a little bit more before
sure,
I throw
of course,
in that category, but the upside is certainly there. There are no Patriots who are starting in fantasy, and last night underscored that. There are no Patriots who are starting in fantasy. If you did, they probably let you down last night. Daniel, what do you got?
I just want to say really quickly, I think any and every Patriots quarterback for like the next 2 to 3 years that comes after Cam Newton needs to give him a huge thank you. Because he bridged the gap between not being that guy after Tom Brady for whoever's going to eventually take over as quarterback. Because unfortunately, like, this offense just looks terrible, not just without him, but I just feel like I don't know what you do with Cam Newton, not just this year, but looking ahead to next year as a quarterback. Like, he, thankfully for whoever comes next, there's been this buffer, so they won't be as compared to Brady as the way that Cam was.
Actually, a very, very good point.
You know what I mean?
You know what? There, it's a long season in the NFL. We're reminded of that because in the first 3 weeks of the year, Cam looked amazing.
That rushing ability, man.
But he looked where he's a passer, too. Like, remember that game against Seattle? He went toe-to-toe with Russell Wilson. He threw for 400 yards. Where are those days?
I will say that I'm not sure Cam Newton is back with the Patriots.
Yeah.
But I don't think Cam Newton is done. Like, Cam Newton, I think, is a starter next year in the NFL somewhere. He's certainly in the league.
I can barely make it through 2020. So,
yeah,
yes,
fair.
You're probably right. But we'll see. We'll see. Let's get to some injuries. Yep. Players leading into week 17, for those that maybe are still playing in a two-week finals to find him, we start with Matthew Stafford, tough as nails, as tough as they come. What's the latest on him with the ankle injury?
Yeah, we talked about how he left on the first drive of the game with that right ankle sprain. He said he rolled it pretty good. He hopped off the field. I thought it was really interesting yesterday. Mike Rothstein, who covers the team for us, said that Matthew Stafford refused to take the cart. You know, he hopped about 30 yards on his left foot to get to the locker room, had his ankle taped, but he thought the cart was only for serious injuries, and therefore he did not want to take it. Now, there's still a chance that he could be available this week, but there's a lot of discussion around it because, after all, still dealing with a rib cartilage injury, a thumb injury that remains, it's less than 100%, and now this ankle sprain. Matthew Stafford has made it clear that if he's healthy enough to play, he wants to be out there, but this may not be entirely in his hands. So watch the practice reports and stay tuned, but they're still leaving the door open for him to return. I'm not so confident.
That guy has you want him to play?
No. Matthew Stafford has nothing left to prove to me as a Lions fan. If this is the last game that I have ever seen Matthew Stafford play, and I hope that that's not the case, like, he has been that guy that has been an Iron Man and is out there. Like, I could never question his dedication, not just to the team, but to the city, to the organization. Like, a quarterback like him is somebody I want any chance that I can get. So, like, no, you have nothing left to prove. I don't want you to play. Not because I don't want you out there, but, like, stay healthy.
It doesn't work that way, though, right?
No, it doesn't. That's not the way he thinks.
You're not the man in the arena, right? That's not you. You're not the one. You're not Matthew Stafford.
Yep.
Has poured every ounce of his capabilities into this team. And whether the team is good or not, he loves every single one of those teammates he has.
100%.
Like, we'll see if he does.
You think about how Stafford started his career with so many injuries early on, and he got that injury-prone label early on. Like, oh, Matthew Stafford, if he can stay healthy, was sort of his nickname, right? You know, and so I think that fuels him on some level, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so one of the toughest guys in the NFL, and that's saying something. But as somebody who thinks Matthew Stafford might be a future quarterback of the Washington professional football team, like, yeah, come on, Stafford, take it easy.
You still got a long career ahead of you, man.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a quick aside. We'll get back on track here in a second. But just I think about Josh Allen, and I think about how much I will say this, we on the outside, those of us who are not coaching, playing, obviously scouting, etc., we do things like we have lost the human element of our analysis so frequently, right? And Daniel, I'm not like, I have a lot of the same thoughts you do. Like, yeah, he shouldn't play, right? He should preserve himself. But like, again, we're not inside that building. We're not Matthew Stafford. He's a competitor. Like, I remember in college, like, I wasn't even a good player, right? But I would have given every single thing that I could have had to be out there on the field every single second that I could, right? I mean, things like this happen in sports at any level, and like that's why you're a competitor. And also, like, we do this thing where the minute something goes wrong, we just say like, all right, move on. Let's like find the next thing to fix it, right? And so like last year, people were saying like, you know, a year into the Josh Allen tenure, it was like, eh, no good. Told you they screwed that one up. 2 years in, yep, flawed, screwed up. No chance.
Inaccurate.
Right? Inaccurate. I mean, literally, I mean, I know he was under 59% in back-to-back years. But like, maybe the people that spend every single day around him are saying, you know, I know it's not perfect yet, but some things don't, like, not everybody is Patrick Mahomes right out of the gates, and they're rewarded. So anyways,
I think that's a great point, and kudos to the Bills ownership group for basically saying, all right, Sean McDermott, Billy Bean, you guys... Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, you guys, do what you do.
We do football.
Do what you do. Do football. And, you know, we're going to back off. We're going to give you time. Like, this is something that obviously Washington has not done over many years.
CC Daniel Snyder, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, exactly right. Or you think about San Francisco, which said John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, go, and we're going to back off. And we're going to trust the process. Jokes aside, we're going to trust the process and give you the room to do that as well. It's amazing what adding somebody like Stephon Diggs has done to Josh Allen. I will tell you, I don't know if you remember this conversation, Field, but I interviewed Josh Allen as a rookie, and he came in with, you know, and like people didn't love the pick from Wyoming, and there were questions about him coming in. There'd been some controversy as well at the offseason, and I just told you, I think I said, I sat down with a kid for 20 minutes. And at the end, and I wasn't a fan coming in, and I'm just like, whatever. But, you know, I got to interview him because he's on my schedule. And at the end of 20 minutes, I was like, I want to go block for that guy. Like, he's a very personable, awesome guy. You know what I mean? Like, just when you meet him, and it's not surprising to me that his teammates have rallied around him in a big way and really look at him as a leader, because he does have that kind of, he does have a magnetic personality in that way.
He sure does. More on the Bills, of course, as they are going to be a big part of the playoff picture in the AFC, but let's keep rolling here in the injuries to find out. Kyler Murray, one of several quarterbacks who's uncertain for week 17, but how uncertain is he?
I don't think we really know. He was another one who was injured late in the game. He took a big hit below his right knee. He was clearly in some pain. Cliff Kingsbury saying he's hopeful that he'll have him available this week, but he's another one that's really going to be day by day.
Okay, Chris Streveler is the next man up. He is a former CFL quarterback, pretty good athlete. Not Kyler Murray, but very few are. He would be the next man up in a matchup with the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday. I want to wait till Thursday before we dive into, like, what does it mean for, like, DeAndre Hopkins or something? I tend to think Kyler Murray plays, but we shall see. We'll have a better picture of that by Thursday's show. Jared Goff, Stefania, though, this one's iffy. Obviously got hurt. It was in significant pain on Sunday, playing through a thumb issue, and now we know what the course of remedy is for him in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's already happened. Surprise, you know, there was talk about him wanting to wait till after the season to have surgery if he could, but he met with Dr. Steve Shin. He, of course, is the hand specialist who operated on Drew Brees. He's out there in Los Angeles, and Jared Goff had surgery yesterday on that right thumb, had some hardware inserted to stabilize the fracture. He's out for this week, but there's a chance that he could return for the playoffs for the Rams.
Okay, that would be good news for their playoff chances. It's still going to be a defensive-oriented team if they do make any noise in the playoffs. They actually have to make the playoffs first before they can make some noise in the playoffs. But it was clear Jared Goff was in a lot of pain on Sunday. How about Daryl Henderson, his teammate, though, Stefania? It feels like it's been, you know, one man steps in, another man steps out in that Rams backfield, and now Henderson goes down late in that game last week.
Yeah, with a high ankle sprain, left high ankle sprain, and matching Cam Akers' injury, this is tough for the Rams because they're going to be without both of these guys this weekend.
Okay, yep.
So you think there's no chance that Cam Akers comes back this week, Stefania?
No.
Yeah, Sean McVay left the door open, right, but it still sounds to me like Malcolm Brown's going to be the guy. Sounds that way.
And by the way, if you need a running back this week, and you may, like, I prefer Malcolm Brown to any of the Chiefs guys, for example. We'll get to that in a second. But I do think Malcolm Brown is a worthwhile add, especially when you think about the fact that Jared Goff's not going to be there. They probably go more run-heavy than normal, and it's a run-heavy team to begin with. So I do think Malcolm Brown, you know, is a viable start in Week 17.
Stefania, we've been asking you this now for 13 of 17 weeks. What is the status on Christian McCaffrey for Week 17?
Yeah, this is interesting, and I don't think it's automatic when we look at guys. We talk about them being shut down potentially because of injury, and I think people were saying when Christian McCaffrey had his latest setback, which was the quad issue that kept him out for a couple of weeks, why don't they just shut him down? I think the approach was if he gets healthy, he gets better, he'll come back. And when you looked at what Matt Rhule and listened to what Matt Rhule was saying about McCaffrey, in the first 2 weeks after he injured the quad, when he was supposed to return from the shoulder, he was talking about what he was doing in practice and the progress he was making. And he was, again, he was not doing much of anything. He was working on the side, if anything, but he was not participating fully in practice. But there was still this encouraging tone. And then last week, that tone shifted. And Matt Rhule came out the first day and said he's doubtful to play, which already hinted at him not being available. And then this week, when asked about McCaffrey's chances, he said, leaning towards no. So something shifted last week where I think they decided that Christian McCaffrey was probably going to not be healthy enough for them to be comfortable putting him back on the field. They're saying unlikely, but this is all the makings of him not returning.
Okay, so the question basically becomes, what's the value for him in 2021? I'll offer this right now. This is a December 29th take. He's the clear-cut number one player in fantasy going into next year's drafts. I know that sounds a little bit crazy. At the same time, he played three games this year. Three games this season. You know what he did in those three games? 25-plus fantasy points, 24-plus fantasy points, 37-plus fantasy points. He's a cheat code in fantasy football. He had never missed a game in his career prior to this season. The guy has largely stood the test of time. He's been durable. I know that Davante Adams and Alvin Kamara and Travis Kelce have been awesome this year, but the reality remains this. If you can pick a player, and that player is an elite running back, and he plays 16 games for you and gives you elite production, it's more valuable than any other asset in fantasy football.
I released my top 60. My way, way too early top 50 for 2021 in last week's Love Hate. So you can go and check that out. And I had McCaffrey at number one. So I agree with you, except for this one thing. You said he's the clear-cut number one. I don't think he's clear-cut. I think there's a conversation to be had. Listen, he is my number one. I agree with you. If I had the number one pick for a draft in 2021 today, I'm taking Christian McCaffrey because you deal with injuries. But if I was in a draft today, you know, sitting here on December 29th for next year, and someone took Dalvin Cook, took Travis Kelce, took Davante Adams, took Alvin Kamara, took Derrick Henry, I'm not looking at him weird. Not looking like, where'd that come from?
Sure. Yeah.
Took Saquon, took Zeke. If you think Dak Prescott is back and they get the offensive line fixed in Dallas, took, like, again, it's not what I would do. But, like, I think there's, I guess my point is I don't think it's as, this year, coming into this year, it was Christian McCaffrey, and, like, the conversation starts at two. I do think there's going to be a conversation. I don't think McCaffrey, who is the consensus number one sort of across the fantasy industry, I don't necessarily think he's going to be that going into next year.
Maybe not a number one overall pick next year, but a guy who could be in the first round mix, as crazy as that might seem, is James Robinson. Stefania, he missed week 16 with an ankle injury. The Jaguars no longer have to worry about whether they're going to pick first or not. They're picking first. Do we think they'll have James Robinson on Sunday?
No. And I'll tell you that even though they've left the door open, I think the fact that there's some clarity now that he did suffer a high ankle sprain, and Doug Marrone said on Monday that he still has swelling in his ankle and isn't likely to practice. That really doesn't suggest the guy that they would run out there in the final week of the season with just recovering from a high ankle sprain, which is notoriously difficult to recover from. It just doesn't make sense to me that they would put him out there. So I am not planning on James Robinson.
Okay, don't plan on James Robinson. All I can do and tell you right now is pour one out for James Robinson. What a remarkable year. Certainly one of, if not the best waiver wire finds. after week one. I sort of drew the line in the sand yesterday between someone like James Robinson versus someone like Mike Davis, who started the fill-in for you after week two. It was more of an injury replacement. James Robinson has been one of the just great, great stories of fantasy football this season.
Of football, period. Undrafted free agent, had a monster year for a bad team. Like, great for James Robinson.
Stefania Ronald Jones missed last week for the Bucs, not just because of a pinky issue, but also being on the COVID-19 list. We think there's a chance he'll be back in week 17.
Bruce Arians said he hopes he is. Remember, his surgery to repair that broken pinky finger was December 15th, and it was the next day that he was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. There's obviously a number of clearances that have to happen before he can return. You have to make sure his conditioning is okay to be able to put him into a game. So they're going to want to see him at practice. He hasn't tested the finger either. So, you know, you got to make sure that the finger's okay for him to be functional as running back, blocking, whatever else he needs to do, but then also clearing the COVID-19 protocols to return.
And how about another, finally, hopefully, the last 49ers injury update of the season, Stefania? Brandon Ayuk, their star rookie wide receiver, unfortunately a little bit banged up himself.
Yeah, he also with a high ankle sprain. I think if you remember back to Kyle Shanahan saying a couple of weeks ago that Jimmy Garoppolo's high ankle sprain was the worst of all the ones suffered on the team because they had so many that Shanahan's gotten to the point where he could rank them. Well, this one has to be one of the most damaging, at least for week 17. They're not going to have Brandon Ayuk available. His season is now over.
Too bad. It was a great rookie season for Brandon Ayuk. I have said this, you know, I thought coming into this season, Justin Jefferson had the clearest path to great fantasy as a rookie, fantasy productions rookie. He ended up making good on that. I think there's a chance Brandon Ayuk emerges as the best long-term fantasy wide receiver asset amongst these rookie wideouts, which sounds a little bit crazy, but he is just a remarkable talent. Sammy Watkins, Stefania, a player that was banged up for the Chiefs on Sunday. Is he likely to play in week 17?
Well, it's interesting because they said the calf injury that he suffered is not that serious, but if you look at what Kansas City is planning on doing in terms of saving their players, if you will, their key players for the playoffs, it doesn't make sense. Sammy Watkins already missed time this year with a hamstring and a calf issue. Even if this is on the less serious side, it seems that another week of rest would be beneficial.
Okay, so probably not super notable for fantasy as no one's really been starting Sammy Watkins, but it's not just Sammy Watkins who is potentially out for the Chiefs in week 17. Andy Reid had some comments yesterday, and again, the Chiefs are the only team that has clinched not just the playoffs, but their specific seed in the playoffs. They're the number one seed in the AFC, no matter what happens in week 17. And Andy Reid said key starters won't play for Kansas City in week 17. So you can infer from that what you'd like. I think you could assume Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill are amongst those key starters for Kansas City. We'll get more information on this throughout the week, but it seems like a good bet that you will not have any of those three-star players on the field, certainly not for the entire game, and there could be others who might have to step up, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later on in the show. As a matter of fact, after a couple of words from some of our great friends that make this podcast possible. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
You're hanging out with some friends and putting back a few drinks, and before you know it, a few becomes a few too many. As the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think about calling for a ride, but nah, you live nearby, right? You can make it home. It's no big deal. What are the odds you'll get pulled over anyways? And even so, what's the worst that could happen? Your insurance goes up? You lose your license? You lose your job? You total your car? You kill somebody? Everyone knows about the risks of drunk driving. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, that still doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you think that you're okay to drive after just a few drinks, think again. Play it safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's life forever. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Let's talk about how to replace your Chiefs. And again, no specific word yet from Andy Reid on which of those key starters will be out. Let's just infer the big three: Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce. Let's just run through these, Matthew. I don't want to go through every single potential quarterback you could replace Patrick Mahomes with. It would be Chad Henne as the next man up. But a couple of names that come to mind that might be available in your league: Derek Carr facing off against the Broncos, and Kirk Cousins facing off against Daniel's Detroit Lions. He's actually been quarterback 6 over the past 6 weeks. Any other names sort of tickle your fancy here for the quarterback replacements?
Yeah, I mean, just Jalen Hurts. I mean, listen, obviously a tough matchup against Washington, which has been really good defense. But Jalen Hurts, again, we sort of talk about, to your point, cheat codes, just his rushing ability gives you some upside there. But I like both those calls. Like Denver, their secondary is so beat up.
Yeah.
You know, Derek Carr, over 22 fantasy points, 3 of the last 4. He's been strong down the stretch against some tougher competition than what the Broncos offer. And to your point about Kirk Cousins, I mean, again, as you said, he's been a top 6 fantasy quarterback for 6 straight weeks. Like, after a slow start, he's getting going. I don't think I want any part of the running game here. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. So he says a key starter. Is Le'Veon Bell a key starter? I'm not convinced. Is Darrell Williams a key starter? Maybe. Like, I want no part of the running game on the Chiefs. And so, like,
I just have a hard time.
Mecole Hardman have a big game from Chad Henne? Of course, you're in an Andy Reid offense. But if I'm playing for a Week 17 championship, I'm avoiding the Chiefs.
We'll discuss more wide receiver options a little bit later on waiver wire. But still, Matthew, a couple of names to potentially replace in place of Tyreek Hill. You know, Russell Gage has been good for the Falcons recently, and Julio Jones, you would think, is at best iffy to play in Week 17. Jalen Reagor showed some life for the Eagles recently, 15 targets over the past 2 weeks. You know, I still don't know that I would totally trust him, but it's Week 17. You're going to have to likely trust somebody that you would not otherwise trust under normal circumstances. And for Travis Kelce, I'll give you a couple names later in waiver wire, but maybe Dalton Schultz.
Sure.
You know, he's at least had moments this year, and that Cowboys offense sort of found its footing a little bit last week.
Andy Dalton has looked better, honestly, so... Yes, I don't have a problem with any of those issues, any of those names, I should say. None of them are ideal. But listen, if you're sifting through the waiver wire in Week 17, it's not ideal to begin with.
We'll rip through some of these names that had big Week 16s, and just sort of succinctly, do you believe in them doing the same thing or at least having a good enough week to start in fantasy? Jeff Wilson Jr. for the 49ers was awesome on Saturday, 183 yards, 27.4 fantasy points, Matthew. And he's the only guy left standing, basically, in the San Francisco backfield.
Yeah, all in. Like, he's had 6 games this year with double-digit carries, like 10 or more carries, right? And in those 6 games, he's got 8 touchdowns. He's going to get 10 carries this week against Seattle. So even though Seattle has played better defensively, I just think the run game is so important. You just mentioned Brandon Ayuk's not going to play in this game. Like, we're back to Kittle. No Debo Samuel as well. Like, they're missing a lot of offensive weapons. Jeff Wilson Jr. is healthy and productive. I haven't done my rankings yet, but I would be surprised if Wilson is outside my top 15 for the week.
Got it. Feel good about Chris Godwin as well, coming off of a 5-catch, 84-yard touchdown performance, Matthew. And this Buccaneers team has something to play for. If they win, they're guaranteed the 5th seed in the NFC, and that means a chance to face off against the NFC East winner in round 1. They're going to keep going here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, look, Brady's been, you know, spreading it around. Nice matchup with Atlanta. Atlanta's played better defensively. Like, I mean, they slowed down the Chiefs. Like, they've played better defensively. Credit to Raheem Morris and what he's done.
Not against Tom Brady in the second half, too.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, that's fair. That's where I was going. They've played better recently, except at some point. Yeah. Yes. If you've been starting Chris Godwin, you're starting him again.
I was going to say, the Bucs are going to be feeling really good about themselves going into the playoffs because they had the softest schedule down the stretch in the league. I mean, just playing absolute cupcakes for the last month of the season here, Daniel. What do you got?
I just want to say this is more of like an observation, but it feels like the Bucs are the opposite of the Steelers right now, right? Where the Bucs are peaking at the right time, where the Steelers, after a dominant 11-0 start, like, I would love to be Tampa Bay because it feels like they're finally starting to hit on all cylinders. No offense to the Lions, but like, what a great game to get everybody involved and be like, all right, let's continue to build on this, man.
Yeah, talk to me when the Bucks play someone real. I've been saying this. Bucks are 1-5 against teams that have winning records.
Yeah.
They've gotten toasted. They've played the softest bad teams in the league.
The problem is that we thought coming into the year, we thought their defense would be pretty good.
Yeah.
And their defensive line is still good.
Yeah.
But their secondary has been brutal.
Yeah, it hasn't been as good, as dominant as some thought. And the Bucks could make a huge run here. What I'm trying to avoid doing is saying, oh yeah, the Bucks beat the Falcons, and then they beat the Panthers, and then they beat the Vikings, like then the Lions.
And the Lions.
Woo-hoo! Like, right. Really? Like, really? And I understand, Dan, you're right. Like, the Steelers lost to the Bengals, but like, I still believe that, you know, the NFC goes through New Orleans, and it goes through Seattle, and it goes through Green Bay before it goes through Tampa Bay, at least in my
I'm just going to say, if the Packers win, man, going through, having to go into Lambeau in December and win is not easy.
Yeah. And
not easy at all.
The Bucks did wax the Packers earlier on this season.
They did.
But that was the game where Aaron Rodgers threw two pick sixes. Two. He's thrown like five in his entire career. Anyways, you know,
it'd be interesting to see.
I'm sitting here like, yeah. I'm going to see a five-game winning streak, and it's Tom Brady, who's the greatest quarterback of all time, but it's still a big road ahead of them in the NFC playoff picture. Jamison Crowder, not only did he have seven catches, 92 yards, and a touchdown last week, he threw a 43-yard touchdown pass. Now faces the Patriots in Week 17. Matthew, you starting Jamison?
I am. He's had six or more catches in consecutive games. And he's been one of the things, like, shout out to Mike Clay, by the way, because when we were on Fantasy Football Now, Mike Clay mentioned Jamison Crowder as a really nice DFS play last week. You know, he's only 4,500 on DraftKings last week.
Yeah.
So Mike mentioned that, highlighted him, obviously a great call. And we talked about the amount of target share he'd been getting and that he was finally fully healthy. Obviously, it was a good matchup with the Browns. Well, it's a great matchup now with the Patriots, who struggle against slot receivers. I mean, like, they struggled in every aspect last night. But they definitely struggle against slot receivers, by the way. I started Jamison Crowder in my my 33-man, 12-team, deep, super crazy deep dynasty league. I started him over J.D. McKissic last week. Brought home the title.
Yeah.
This was the league that I lost by 1 point last year. I lost the final. So anyway, happy to bring that home. Another good birthday thing. None of that's important in the analysis, but I was happy about the title, so I just want to sort of humble brag and bring that in.
Okay, yeah, well done.
You bring that up.
You did just it effectively.
Thank you very much.
I did just want to say, Matthew, you said he was on Fantasy Football Now. Also on CSS DFS, Mike not only talked about Jamison Crowder, he also talked about Michael Gallup and Gio Bernard, all three of who had big games. We're going to continue CSS DFS throughout the playoffs. Obviously, we're going to be done here for the season long a little bit, but
and on Thursday, this Thursday,
and
there'll be a
Thursday
CSS
we're going to
DFS.
Do it.
This
Mike's
Thursday.
Been crushing it, man. He's so good at what it is that he does, man. I just
yeah.
whatever it is he does.
Everything.
Yeah. That's good. We love Mike Clay. Great job,
Boomer on Monday night halftime last night.
Oh, what?
Jamison Clam Crowder.
Oh, yes, I did catch that.
Vintage
yes,
Boomer, so good. One more here, T. Higgins, who, you know, I'm going to wait till Week 17 is over to sort of encapsulate all of this. I'm sure Kyle will be one step ahead of me with this, but we knew it was supposed to be a good rookie class. It's been so good. They have so delivered on expectations, including T. Higgins, who has a chance for 1,000 receiving yards this season, six catches, 99 yards, and a touchdown last week. Brandon Allen, by the way, played his tail off. He was amazing for the Bengals last week in an upset over the Texans.
I love T. Higgins. That's why I'm saying, like, when you say things like, you know, as great as Justin Jefferson was this year, Brandon Ayuk could be the best of this rookie class. I'm like, listen, I'm with you. Brandon Ayuk is super talented. But when you sit here and you look at, well, you're also talking about T. Higgins, and you're also talking about Chase Claypool, and you think about CeeDee Lamb, who, like, once you get Dak Prescott there and another year in the league for CeeDee Lamb, like, I mean, there's a lot of guys that have been like, it's great. Just an insane. And listen. And I think Jalen Reagor, like, you know, let him be healthy for a year. Yeah. Let's see what happens with Jalen Reagor. What about my Antonio Gandy Golden baby?
Yeah, maybe,
you yeah. know, we'll see. He's been hurt all the year.
We'll see. Let's get to the waiver wire.
This past year, fine. Last week.
Did I hear Stefania pipe in for a second or no?
Who was that?
Oh, I thought I heard you say something.
No.
Is that you?
No.
I'm tuning out. Yeah. No, because he, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you have it. Let's get to
Matthew
the waiver
talking
wire.
About Washington, I too now.
Yeah.
Flip the switch.
Let's get to the waiver wire. And again, week 17, you may not need to pick up anybody. You may need to pick up lots of pieces because you have Chiefs or something else. Let's get to the waiver wire. And let's talk about Gus Edwards. You know, I'm going to mention Gus Edwards, and he's sort of interesting for a few reasons. First of all, like, he's been good this year. He is a north-south, just get to the hole and pick up 5 or 6 yards. Actually had two catches this past week, very typical for him. And worth noting that J.K. Dobbins, and we'll see if the injury report has any sort of trickle-down impact on this, He left the game on Sunday with a chest injury. It was brief. He came back in, but Gus Edwards largely held down the fort for the Ravens. If J.K. Dobbins is at all banged up, it would stand to reason that Mark Ingram would be active for this game. But if you're looking for a guy who has a chance in an awesome matchup to fall into the end zone once, maybe even twice, I do think Gus Edwards fits that bill. I know I always have Kyle dig up the stat, and he dug it up without me even asking for it. But since he entered the league in 2018, there are 37 running backs that have 300-plus carries. Nobody averages 5 yards per carry, or excuse me, as Gary has gained 5 yards on a carry more frequently than Gus Edwards, other than Derrick Henry. It's great, great company to keep. It's Derrick Henry 40.4%, Gus Edwards at 39.6%, just ahead of Aaron Jones and Alvin Kamara for some perspective. Darrell Williams for the Chiefs. I know you just
I was just going to say, let's think about that. Think about that list. Derrick Henry, Gus Edwards, Aaron Jones, Alvin Kamara. It's like it's the old Sesame Street. Like one of these things is not like the other. One of these things doesn't belong. Like Gus Edwards, again, right? Not involved in the passing game at well as not involved in the passing game at all. But I think it's because he doesn't have a flashy nickname. Like Gus Bus, I guess, whatever. But like, yeah.
It goes back to his Rutgers.
Gus Frat was the Gus Bus as well. And Jerome Bettis is really the bus
yeah.
when you're coming to running backs. I don't know. Just Gus Edwards gets no respect or love. But
some respect on his name.
That's all I'm saying.
A few more here. Darrell Williams, we talked about earlier. Again, Matthew, you sort of asked, like, is he a potential key starter for the Chiefs? I still think he plays some on Sunday. He had 46 yards on the ground, plus 4 catches for 27 yards in week 16, played way more snaps than Le'Veon Bell. Stands to reason that he would play, again, more snaps than Le'Veon Bell in week 17.
Do you agree with me that Malcolm Brown, if he's available in your league, you're picking him over either of these guys?
Yes, I do believe that firmly. We'll talk about the top 5 waiver wire ads for this week in just a moment. Okay. A couple of wide receivers.
Can I add a quick deep league name?
Go ahead.
Samaje Perine had a really nice game for Cincinnati. Like, I get it.
But like, he also had the second most carries in his own team. Like, a lot of that was just like, he's
game
been a
flow,
ghost.
I get it.
A lot of us think he's been a ghost. I'm with you. I feel you. I just like, would it surprise you if he had 8 carries on Sunday?
No, it certainly would not, and they're playing the Ravens, you know, which is a tough matchup. And in theory, they should be down in that game, and Bernard's more of the pass catcher. But I'm just again, if you're sifting through the rubble of Week 17, and these guys are all gone, he's just a name to throw on the radar, as would be Dare Ogunbowale if Robinson can't go.
Yep, Nelson Agholor. Let's get to the wide receivers because some of these wide receivers, these are really the lottery tickets, right? These are like, hey, I might be down big and I need a player that could score 20 points or I need a player who could score 0 points. Like 12 doesn't do you very much good, right? So like Jacoby Myers, for example, for some reason you've been able to get by with him. He doesn't do you a lot of value here, but Nelson Agholor, who last week 5 catches, 155 yards and a touchdown, he's got a ton of games. Well, not a ton, but he's had 3 games over the past 5 weeks. Where he has at least 20 fantasy points. He's been up and down throughout the year for Las Vegas, but this is a player who's proven to be one of the better value adds in free agency this offseason. Ton of minimum money deal, and he's played really well for the Las Vegas Raiders. Michael Gallup, as we talked about yesterday on the show, had a great week in week 16. Talented guy. Now, the fear is, of course, that he could be third amongst Cowboy wide receivers in fantasy scoring on Sunday. But he does lead Cowboys wide receivers with 38 targets over the past 5 games. So Michael Gallup has been semi-busy. A few tight ends, and again, this is probably the position where there's the most obvious need to replace someone. I know Patrick Mahomes too, but there's a few more good options at quarterback than there are tight ends. These are all dart throws. Irv Smith, 5 touchdowns in his past 5 games. Now, it's worth noting that he had 2 in 2 separate games, but Kyle Rudolph has been out recently. And they play Detroit. And then Jimmy Graham, Matthew, who I know you know, top 5 in terms of tight end touchdowns this season. The Bears have scored 40-plus points in 4 straight games. Not sure that continues on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. Daniel, you are upset about something.
I just want Cole Kmet to be a thing. Like, it's nothing against Jimmy Graham, but like I just want Cole Kmet to be the guy. Like, I can't be the only one.
No, listen, I started Cole Kmet in a league over Hayden Hurst because Hurst had been bad. I'm thinking Cole Kmet's been running all these routes, getting all these targets, playing Jacksonville.
Yep.
And I was right. the tight end against Jacksonville was going to have a big game. It's just Jimmy Graham won't go away. What are you going to do? Like, honestly, in all seriousness, I want to give credit to Jimmy Graham because Ryan Pace got all sorts of grief in the offseason for the Jimmy Graham signing. People didn't understand it like this guy has done. And whereas maybe he could have gotten him cheaper, maybe he didn't need him. The fact is that Jimmy Graham has been productive. I think we all sort of wrote him off in the beginning of the year, and he's been very productive for the Bears.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is what you said. I mean, they could have had him for, like, if it was a two-year, $10 million deal, it feels a lot better. 2 years, $12 million deal. But still, like, the contract has not been an abomination this season. It might be next year, but next year it's an expiring deal. You are on to 2022 at that point. All right, let's rank these players. Let's get to the touchscreen. Get out the iPad and give you five names. And again, you know what, people? It's week 17. Like, good luck to you all. I'm going to give you my best effort on the waiver wire, but I can't promise you that any of these guys are perfect options. Malcolm Brown, number one for me. Matthew and I were just talking about him a little bit earlier on in the show. You've got Daryl Henderson, who is banged up. We'll see about Cam Akers, but Cam Akers seems at least iffy to play in week 17 after a high ankle sprain. Malcolm Brown, all the way back in week one, had two touchdowns. He's a player that the Rams value. Remember, at one point, he was nearly a Detroit Lion. The Rams matched it. He is a guy that they believe in and certainly is steady and reliable. Number two for me, Darrell Williams. And again, we'll see how much he plays in week 17. And I understand it probably won't be Patrick Mahomes. Maybe the upside for the Chiefs is not as substantial. But they're playing a Chargers defense that we know has been vulnerable throughout the year. I'm in on Darrell Williams. Number three here, I'm going to keep it going with the running backs. Gus Edwards. I got a feeling here. I got a feeling at least one. I got a gut feeling on two touchdowns for Gus Edwards on Sunday against the Bengals. The guy just seems to find his way to fall forward into the end zone, and I don't expect the Ravens to have much of an issue with the Bengals, who even after playing inspired football of late are a multiple, I think a two-touchdown deficit underdog to the Baltimore Ravens for Week 17.
Yeah, 11.5.
There you go. Okay. Not quite two touchdowns, but close. Nelson Agholor, who I just mentioned, has been a little bit up and down this year, but the ups have been very good. So if you're down by 40 points going into week 17 in a two-week final and you need someone that might get you 25, he might get you two, but he might get you 25, then Nelson Agholor is certainly a player that has shown that throughout the year. I know the Raiders have nothing to play for in week 17, but this is a team that's not far enough along in their franchise trajectory to just pack it in week 17. Like, a win could help them feel good about themselves going into 2021. A lot of questions for the Raiders this offseason. And then finally, because it seems very unlikely that Travis Kelce plays in week 17, I'll mention Irv Smith Jr. There is no perfect tight end option to fill in for Travis Kelce, but with Kyle Rudolph being banged up of late, perhaps you believe that the Vikings will do what other teams have done recently to the Lions, which is score lots and lots and lots of points. Irv Smith Jr., a good red zone weapon for them, as is evidenced by the fact that he has five touchdowns over his last five games. So there you have it, our final waiver wire segment on the podcast for the season. I appreciate all of you that took the time to read the column this year. Of course, available now on ESPN.com for week 17. We will be back for more in 2021.
I got some questions based on this field. Do you mind if I throw them at you guys?
Throw away.
Darrell Williams, obviously, if you like him, is Le'Veon Bell, and given the usage that he had this last week, like, do you feel comfortable dropping him? Like, or at this
week
point,
17, because, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been clear about this. Using the Chiefs makes me nervous. I understand what Field is saying about Darrell Williams, but I think there is a chance that Darrell Williams is considered a key starter. Again, we don't know how bad Clyde Edwards-Helaire is banged up and when they're going to get him back for the playoffs. So Darrell Williams is important to that team and that offense, especially if they have no CEH. Le'Veon Bell, I mean, the Chiefs may think Le'Veon Bell has something left. Le'Veon Bell looks done to me. I'm not Andy Reid, but I would be nervous using any Chief, honestly, any Chief this week. I would be nervous using them.
What else, Daniel?
So Nelson Agholor feels kind of like a guy that, like, I never know when to start him. I never feel comfortable starting him. He's that guy. But then I look at the end of the year, and it's like he's had 3 20-point games, or he's had 5 games of more than 15 fantasy points, and it's like, what is it that you make, you know, we're so far into Nelson Agholor's career at this point. Is he just this guy that's always going to be a fringe person? Is this a part of the offense that he's in with his quarterback? Like, he obviously has talent. Yeah. We have seen it on the field a number of times this season, but What is the deal with Nelson Aguilar from that perspective?
We were just talking earlier about the human side of sports, right? And how that gets so frequently overlooked. And I get it. Nelson Aguilar had way too many drops in Philadelphia.
Yes.
It became an internet meme, right?
Yes.
Eagles fan, notoriously, who after saving a life.
It was hilarious.
Was hitting drop like Aguilar. We get it. I get it. All right. It was time for him to go and move on. At the same time, he's a human. He was the 19th overall pick in the draft. You don't go 19th overall if you offer nothing. He offered a lot during his time at USC. And in key moments, he was okay for the Philadelphia Eagles occasionally. And he's been really good for the Raiders. He needed the change of scenery in a really bad way. He needed people that not only believed in him, but he also needed to be distanced from that, right? And maybe that's what Dwayne Haskins needs. And I'm not trying to make a direct comparison between Dwayne Haskins and Nelson Aguilar, but the human side of this, right? Dwayne Haskins, on the one hand, you're like a guy who grew up in the DMV area gets to go play for the Washington football team. Sometimes the last thing you need is to be around the people that you spent your entire life with that would make you feel like you're under a microscope in a different way than playing 3,000 miles away from home might make you feel. So my thought, fantasy-wise, for Nelson Aguilar is pretty simple, Daniel. Like I said, if you're down 40 points in a two-week final and your flex is somebody that just giving out names here. I said Jacoby Myers. Like Jarvis Landry, not a player who's had a ton of upside frequently this year.
Yep.
You're worried about DJ Chark because you have no idea he's going to start a quarterback this week. I don't know. Anybody like that, Daniel? You want to throw a dart? Nelson Aguilar has proven that occasionally he lands near the bullseye.
See, I think he's been better than that. I think it's more than occasionally. I mean, like, he's a deep threat wide receiver, and so fantasy-wise, sometimes they're not going to have the consistency of some wide receivers, but given where he was drafted, which is not at all in terms of the free agent, like, listen, the Raiders, especially given how bad their defense is, they've been throwing, and other than Darren Waller, is there a pass catcher on the Raiders you want more than Nelson Aguilar? There isn't. They're willing to take deep shots. They look for him in the red zone. And the matchup this week against Denver is great. Banged up secondary. Over the last 4 weeks, the Broncos are 29th against the pass. They're a bottom three pass defense, and they're rolling out backups out there. Derek Carr has played well this year. Aguilar and him have a connection. I'm more bullish on Aguilar this week. And just overall, I think, I don't know where he ranks, you know, off the top of my head, where he ranks, but I bet you it's a lot higher than you think. Well, I bet on a points per game basis, he's a top 30 wide receiver this year.
I'd be surprised by that. I mean, he's only got 4 games with more than 15 points this year, and he's got 6 games with 2 or fewer catches.
He's been up and down. There's no question. But
to me, in all honesty, he doesn't have that maximum ceiling that a Tyler Lockett for 50 points does, but he is more consistent, and he feels like Tyler Lockett to me from that perspective, although a little bit more consistent, because at least you're getting those 20-point games from him every couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's been better recently, certainly. I mean, he certainly has picked it up. We've belabored the point. The point is simply that he represents what you might need in Week 17, depending
Which is upside. Yeah.
Might. All right, let's close things out with a Geico trivia question, courtesy of Kyle.
First, to close the circle on Aguilar, wide receiver 35 on a per-game basis among qualifiers. So you were right there. You said top 30. On your birthday, I guess we give it to you.
Yeah, on your birthday.
Top 35 is better than you thought.
He's wide receiver 33 on a total.
There you go. So there you go. There's a 3 in front of it.
Yeah.
It's a 3 on whatever. It's
like your birthday. 3 in front of it.
Yeah, exactly. Horseshoes and hand grenades.
Close enough. It's
close and, yeah, you know.
All right, we'll get some trivia here. Yeah, hopefully you guys can get this one. You know, end the season on a good note. How many flex players have more fantasy points this season than Travis Kelce? We're doubling down. We did this trivia somewhere in the middle of the season, but I'm going to revamp it.
What does flex player mean?
Anything not a quarterback.
Okay.
All right. So number one is Alvin Kamara, led the league in fantasy points.
Look at this overachiever. He's going to name him.
I know.
Right.
Well, there's got, who else?
Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook.
Yep. A little bit ahead
Dalvin
of
Cook.
Devontae Adams, number one scoring wide receiver.
You know, this is based on listening to the ESPN Daily yesterday. I learned some things about Stephon Diggs that I did not know. I didn't know how many catches he had.
Yeah, 120.
Yeah, I might put Stephon Diggs close, in that category.
Close. I bet Stephon Diggs is just ahead. The only thing with Diggs is, until last night especially, he's 9 touchdowns this year. So you got guys like Devontae Adams with 17
but he has
or
yards
whatever.
And
so
he had. So he has 9 on the year. Diggs has 9 on the year.
And he has just 1 rushing yard. I'm going to go with 8 players ahead of Travis Kelce.
Derrick Henry could be on the list as well. And Yeah, you mentioned Diggs, Davante Adams, and
Tyreek Hill. Obviously.
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill.
And Tyreek Hill. I'll say 7.
I'll say 5.
I looked, so I'm not going to do it. But you guys literally named every single one of these people. Yeah. Kyle, go ahead.
I don't know why you guys fade Stefania in any of this trivia thing ever. She got 5. You guys named all 5. Stephon Diggs pulled ahead by just over a point last night. So 5 is the exact number. Travis Kelce, 6th overall.
That's incredible
done,
for Stephania. A tight end.
Good job by you.
You know what? This is why you all should listen to the ESPN Daily.
That's right. Keep listening to the ESPN Daily. Are back on Thursday for one final regular season podcast. Our last one. We'll do a wrap-up show during the postseason. We promise you we'll give you a specific date on that. But in the meantime, Thursday, our final show.
Yep. It is our normal Thursday podcast. So Mike Clay will be here instead of me. So this is my last one of the year. Thank you very much. Thanks for all the happy birthday wishes.
Happy birthday.
Love you all.
Happy birthday.
Savon Ahmed.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.